Happy New Year to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports. Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Let's stand up and give a Sunny Side of Sports salute to Cristiano Ronaldo, whose successful year on the football pitch is being rewarded with some big trophies at the end of 2016. Earlier this week, in Dubai in the United Arab Emirates, the 31-year-old Ronaldo was named Player of the Year at the Globe Soccer Awards. The Portugal and Real Madrid star did not attend the ceremony in person, but he did speak by video link from Spain.
As I say, it was a dream year. In terms of individual and collective, probably was my best year so far. We win the Champions League for Real Madrid. We win for the first time for the Portugal national team, the first important title. As you mentioned, I win the Golden Ball. I win World Cup clubs. What I can ask for more? The people still doubt about me, about Real Madrid, about national team, and you have the proof. We win everything. So, amazing year. I'm so happy. You know, it was a fantastic year, individual and collective. Next year, we're going to try to do the same. We know it's going to be tough because it's almost impossible, but every year is a challenge for me. So, I will try to do my best all the time.
At those same Globe Soccer Awards in Dubai, Cristiano Ronaldo's team, Real Madrid, was named Club of the Year. Ronaldo's recognition in Dubai follows another big award earlier this month in Paris, where he received his fourth Ballon d'Or trophy as the world's best football player.
For me, it's a great honor to receive my for Golden Ball. The emotion is like the first one. It's the dreaming come true again. I never thought in my mind to win four times the Golden Ball. So I'm so pleased, I'm so happy. I have opportunity to thank all my teammates, the national team, Real Madrid, all the people, all the players who helped me to win this individual award, this individual trophy. So, as can you imagine, I feel so proud and happy to receive this amazing and beautiful ball, so I'm so happy.
I'm sure Cristiano Ronaldo is also happy about his big paychecks in 2016. The American business magazine Forbes says Ronaldo was the world's highest paid athlete this year, with estimated total earnings of $88 million. Last month, Ronaldo re-signed with Real Madrid with a five-year contract that will earn him millions of dollars. And also in November, he signed a multi-million dollar lifetime deal with Nike.
I look at this new contract for a life. I'm a member of the family, but I have to say the Nike, it's the best. For me, in my opinion, point of view, it's the best. They do things that no one can do it. I have great relationship with this brand. I have great friends here in the company. They have, you know, specific people who work with me. So this is means a lot for me because I can give my feedback to them. They can listen my opinion. So we work as a family too. They have very imaginative and they do it unbelievable things. And they do it sometimes as surprises. And I like surprises. So this is my brand. You know, Nike, they are smart and they know to pick the best ones. So I'm happy because I'm one of them. Means
the best contract that I have in my whole career. Many people tell me, I cannot see you with another brand. You are a Nike man.
That's Nike man, Real Madrid man, and Portugal man, Cristiano Ronaldo. The football superstar might have more to smile about early in 2017. Ronaldo is on the three-man shortlist for FIFA's Player of the Year at its annual awards ceremony on January 9th in Zurich, Switzerland. Lionel Messi of Argentina and Barcelona and Antoine Griezmann of France and Atletico Madrid are also on the short list. Getting back to those Globe Soccer Awards in Dubai, Englishman Mark Clattenburg was named Referee of the Year. The 41-year-old Clattenburg officiated at three big finals this year: the UEFA Champions League final in Milan, Italy, the UEFA Euro 2016 final at the Stade de France near Paris, and the FA Cup final at Wembley Stadium in London. In Dubai, Clattenburg was asked about the video review system that FIFA tried out recently at its Club World Cup tournament in Japan.
I think it will be the future. I think many referees think this system will be a great addition in many years to come. And we want the matter of fact. For sure, the referees will make mistakes. I make mistakes in many matches. And when it's a matter of fact, I would like to review the decision and make sure I do not influence a huge result in a game of football. When it's opinion, we have many opinions in football, and this is the great debate of football. But when it's a matter of fact, the ball over the line or incorrect corner or incorrect penalty, then as a referee, we hold our hand up and say we made a mistake and we want to improve.
That's Mark Clattenburg, who was named Referee of the Year at this week's Globe Soccer Awards in Dubai.
Music Time in Africa offers splendid sounds from the continent that all humanity calls home. From the classics of yesteryear to the hot tracks of the moment, I offer you what you need: free ear therapy and mind massage. Join me, I'm Heather Maxwell, for Music Time in Africa, every Saturday and Sunday at 0900, 2000, and 2100 UTC.
Thanks, Heather. We look forward to your next Music Time in Africa show. Like Cristiano Ronaldo, I'm sure Andy Murray will look back fondly on 2016. He overtook Novak Djokovic as the world's number one ranked player in men's tennis. The British star also won his second Wimbledon title, and Andy followed that up by winning his second Olympic title in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. In Rio, Murray was the flag bearer for Great Britain during the opening ceremony. And then in a thrilling gold medal match, he outlasted Argentina's Juan Martín del Potro to successfully defend his Olympic men's singles title. And for our VOA tennis fans keeping score, Andy Murray is the only player, male or female, to have won two Olympic singles titles. Hey, Andy, what are you most proud of this year?
The thing I was most proud of would have been the Olympics, second Olympics. That was special. But the hardest thing was getting to number one, because, you know, Olympics is, you know, 8-day event. You know, getting to number one, it took me, well, basically, yeah, it was the whole year. It was right down to the last tournament, the last match of the year to finish number one. So that was really, really hard, and it, you know, took a lot out of me physically and mentally at the end of the year. I was really, really tired, more tired than I've been at the end of any season that I'd finished before, so it took a lot out of me.
Andy Murray talks about being really, really tired at the end of the year. Well, perhaps Andy needs to rest up some more. He lost to Belgium's David Goffin in straight sets Friday, 7-6 and 6-4, at an exhibition tournament in Abu Dhabi in the United Arab Emirates. I'm sure Andy Murray will try to sharpen his game ahead of the Australian Open, which gets underway January 16th. Andy talks about his goals for 2017.
I tend to set more short-term goals, and that's worked better for me in the past. Sometimes when I've looked like 5-6 months ahead, that hasn't been good for me. So I tend to look just, you know, 1 or 2 months ahead, and that's why I said, you know, the Australian Open was not that difficult for me to set goals at the beginning of the year. But I think once the Australian Open's done, it's 4 or 5 months until the next slam, and that's where I need to make sure I stay focused. And that's a period of the year where I have struggled at times in the past, you know, post-Australian Open, sometimes in Indian Wells and Miami, haven't played so well and through February, so I'll try to do a better job of that next year. Immediate goal is the Australian Open. You know, it starts in just a couple of weeks, and yeah, want to try, and I've lost in the final there a number of times, so yeah, I'd like to try and get the Australian Open title next month if possible.
That's two-time Olympic champion Andy Murray of Britain, the world's number one ranked men's tennis player to end 2016. And Andy was talking in Abu Dhabi in the United Arab Emirates.
Voice of America!
Listen to VOA's program lineup, live, anytime, day or night. Pick out your favorite shows and listen anytime you want. Download our podcasts. Check VOA Mobile from your cell phone. Subscribe to VOA Newsfeed. VOAnews.com.
VOA!
I encourage our VOA listeners to check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page. The address is facebook.com/VOAsunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOAsunny. You'll see photos and videos, and you can post your comments. So check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page.
Voice of America!
You can also follow me on Twitter. My handle is @VOAsunnySports. Joining us now from Abuja, Nigeria, with a package of African sports news is reporter Samson Omale. And Samson begins with a Tunisian handball victory.
The Tunisian handball team beat the Basque countries 24-21 during the second friendly match between the two teams played on Thursday night in Bilbao. The team will continue their build-up preparations in Hammamet until they leave for Croatia, where they will play two other friendly matches against the Croatian national team on January the 7th and Montenegro's on January the 8th before going to France on January the 11th. At the World Handball Championship in France, which begins on January the 11th to end on the 29th, Tunisia is in Group B alongside Spain, Slovenia, Macedonia, Iceland, and Angola. To football news now, Al Ahly coach Hossam El Badari refused to get carried away with a Cairo Derby victory over Zamalek on Thursday, insisting that there is still a long way to go in the Egyptian Premier League. Two goals from Mohamed Zakaria and substitute Junior Ajayi helped Al Ahly maintain a 9-year unbeaten run in the league against Zamalek and extended their lead over their arch rivals to 11 points, although they later still have two games in hand. And now to preparations towards the AFCON 2017 Championships in Gabon. English side Aston Villa have pleaded with Ghana football authorities to delay the arrival of striker Jordan Ayew for the country's training camp for the 2017 African Cup of Nations. Players must be released by their club for the 2017 African Cup of Nations training camp by the 1st of January. Staying with Ghana, Kwadwo Asamoah has reportedly asked to be left out of the Ghana squad for the 2017 African Cup of Nations, and to Morocco, where OGC Nice midfielder Yonis Belhanda will miss the 2017 African Cup of Nations finals after sustaining a toe injury. The Morocco international got injured during Nice's goalless stalemate with Bordeaux in the French League game on Wednesday. And now to Nigeria, where Super Eagles' Carl Ikeme has signed a new contract extension at Champions Club Wolverhampton Wanderers. And Nigeria's sports ministry says it will investigate the allegations that the Super Eagles players were not given their full win bonuses for beating Algeria 3-1 in the 2018 World Cup qualifier in Uyo last month. I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the sunny side of sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Joining us once again in Studio 22 is Andrew Palcheski, the VOA's social media reporter. Happy New Year, Andrew.
Happy New Year to you too, Sonny. Looking forward to 2017.
Andrew, it was a great year for Andy Murray, the British tennis star who we heard from earlier in the show. An American tennis star ending 2016. I think you can say the score line is love, love.
You can absolutely say that. You know, Andy Murray's finishing the year as number one. Serena Williams is finishing on the women's side as number two behind Angelique Kerber. But there's one thing for certain. She is number one in the heart of Reddit co-founder Alexis Ohanian. Serena Williams and Alexis Ohanian announcing their engagement yesterday. So congratulations to them. Ohanian is the co-founder of Reddit, which is kind of like a message board community, online community kind of group where people can go onto different boards and post things and react to other things. And so Serena actually announced this on Reddit with a poem. It was a very nice poem where she writes about how she got kind of swept away. Her bags were packed when she came home late one night. They were off to Rome where they met. And it gave us a little bit of insight in this poem of how they met. They said it was in the same restaurant, same table where they had a chance encounter. So maybe you met kind of randomly, and then he popped the question and she said yes. What surprised a lot of fans on social media about this was that they kept this relationship very quiet, very private. They were not putting up a lot of pictures in social media. They were not sharing their every moment of their relationship. So it was kind of quiet and kind of a little bit of a surprise for some folks, but a lot of well wishes and congratulations, including from Billie Jean King. I think this is the third tweet we've had from Billie Jean this week on the show. That's got to be a Billie Jean King record there on the sunny side of sports. But Billie Jean King tweeting out that she deserves a happy, healthy life, still many more happy returns, and she's looking forward to meeting Alexis, her fiance. So really nice words from her. A little bit of controversy, however, because there have been a couple people saying that, oh, Serena Williams, she's, of course, a former girlfriend of Common and Drake, two rappers. And a lot of people have struck back at that and said, actually, she's Serena Williams' 22-time Grand Slam champion. She's Serena Williams,
right,
who has more money combined than Common and Drake combined in her prize winnings and earnings. So a lot of sports fans striking back at that, saying, no, she's actually very well qualified in her own right. She doesn't need to be described as the ex-girlfriend of anybody.
Andrew, does this engagement indicate that Serena is maybe phasing out the professional tennis career and looking more towards domesticity, so to speak?
You know, I don't know. It's, you know, there was a lot of surprise that she's engaged to a CEO of a company, co-founder of Reddit. That wasn't a big surprise to me because I know Serena is very business savvy. Serena and Venus both, they've talked about in the past that tennis is not going to last forever. The physical demands are going to wear on them. Eventually they're going to have to retire and they need a backup. And so Venus has been very involved with fashion design and interior design. Serena has also been involved with some business dealings. So they're very savvy. So I'm not surprised that she's marrying a business person because I know that they are involved in that realm, and Serena particularly. But You know, I think she's going to still be out there on the court. I anticipate seeing her in just about 2 weeks in the Australian Open. And I think we'll have a new person in the box watching her. Her fiance will be there with all her friends and family watching her down under and everywhere else this year.
You mentioned those 22 Grand Slam singles titles won by Serena, Andrew. One more and she will eclipse Steffi Graf. Can she do it?
Well, I will go out on a limb here, not a very far limb. My first prediction of 2017 is that I think she will reach that 23 this year. I think she has the drive for it. I think we saw this after that when she kind of was on the cusp of getting to the 22, when she had some struggles and lost some Grand Slam matches. We saw this when she was going for the calendar year Grand Slam and she lost in the semifinals at the U.S. Open. She kind of had a rough year after that. She had a little bit of a rough year this past year, but keep in mind, a rough year for Serena Williams is that she won Wimbledon. So she did pretty well. I think that between these four tournaments coming up this year, whether it's Wimbledon, U.S. Open, or potentially the Australian Open, I think that she will do quite well. And let's not forget that last year she did make it to the final of the Australian and the French and Wimbledon. So she did make it to the final of those three tournaments, even though she only won Wimbledon. So she's not like she's not doing a good job or anything. She's still of the upper echelons of tennis.
Andrew, in our final Sunny Side of Sports show for 2016, what else is trending?
Well, I talked a little bit about Serena's earnings and 22 Grand Slam titles and all countless other tournament wins. She has made a lot of money in her career. Another person who's made quite a lot of money is Cristiano Ronaldo. But there's some news coming out from his manager, his agent, Jorge Mendez, where he told Sky News that a Chinese club would have reportedly paid 300 million euro to Real Madrid to get Ronaldo, and then they would have paid him 100 million euro a year. This is just an astounding figure. Clearly one of the most, if not the most, and I imagine it is the most, would have been the highest paid athlete in sports. And to give you some perspective, somebody tweeted out, they said the combined salary cap of the 23 Major League Soccer teams is 84 million euro. So he would be making in a year more than their entire salary cap. But there's some question about if this is a legitimate statement. The astounding amount that they would have had to pay, coupled with the fact that he says, oh, this Chinese club would have paid this, but he doesn't mention what the Chinese club is. There's some speculation that this might just be a way to kind of drum up publicity, to instill some more support behind Ronaldo from the Real Madrid fans, not like he needs any more because he's already got quite a lot. But just to kind of say, you know, he stood by the club, he stuck with them as opposed to going off and taking the big paycheck. So a little bit of debate about that. But one thing's for certain, those numbers are astounding. And even if they're not true, just to think that it could be true shows how talented he is.
Astounding numbers indeed. In fact, earlier in the show, Andrew, Forbes magazine, I reported how prior to his lifetime Nike contract, his total earnings for the year were estimated at $88 million. So
not hurting for money. That's the bottom line there. He's doing quite well for himself.
What else is trending, Andrew?
Well, this goes back to a story we talked about earlier in the year that the National Football League was going to stream games on Twitter. Well, now they've also announced a partnership with Weibo, the largest social media network in China. They have over 130 million active daily users, and the NFL is going to partner with them. They're going to stream the final Sunday Night Football game that's coming up soon, a few playoff games, and the Super Bowl as well. And it kind of touches on another topic we've talked about, that the NFL is trying to draw in more fans from around the world, whether it's playing games in London or Mexico City. And so this is another way for them to do that, by broadcasting these games in China on China's busiest social media network. So we'll see if that leads to a team in China down the road. It would be a very long trip to play for the 1 week and fly back.
That's for sure.
But the NFL is branching out around the world.
Andrew Palcheski, the Voice of America's social media reporter. Thank you, Andrew, and we'll see you next year.
I will see you next year. happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Andrew. And that wraps up the December 30th holiday edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Justin Thwaite. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington. Happy New Year to all our VOA listeners. And that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
The United States values freedom of the press as a key component of democratic governance. Unfortunately, in too many places, the press has become a target of retaliation by those who feel threatened by freedom of expression and transparency in democratic processes. In its annual census of journalists imprisoned worldwide, the Committee to Protect Journalists, or CPJ, found that more journalists are jailed around the world today than at any time since the CPJ began keeping detailed records in 1990. As of December 1, 2016, 259 journalists were jailed this year, compared to the 199 behind bars worldwide in 2015. Turkey accounts for nearly a third of the global total. Amid an ongoing crackdown that accelerated after a failed coup attempt in July, Turkey jailed at least 81 journalists, accusing them of anti-state activity. In addition, more than 100 news outlets have been silenced. The jailing of journalists continues to be a global problem, with China, Egypt, Eritrea, and Ethiopia as some of the other worst offenders. This year marks the first time since 2008 that Iran was not among the top five worst jailers, as many of those sentenced in the 2009 post-election crackdown have served their sentences and been released. However, Tehran is still stifling press freedom by sending journalists to jail, including filmmaker Kayvan Karimi, who is serving a sentence of 1 year in prison and 223 lashes in relation to his documentary about political graffiti, Writing in the City. The press is too often a target of retaliation by governments that repress freedom of expression and transparency. The United States will continue to speak out for the protection of journalists and for their vital role in open societies and defending the truth.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government. If you have a comment, please write to Editorials, VOA, Washington, D.C., 20237, USA. You may also comment and view all our current editorials at the VOA Editorials homepage, www.voanews.com/editorials.
When news breaks, VOA Africa is there. VOA. On weekends, tune into Nightline Africa at 1600 and 1800 UTC. And our five-minute newscasts come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.
Feast with your ears on Music Time in Africa, your connection to the best Pan-African music. Hello, this is Heather Maxwell, inviting you to join me every Saturday and Sunday at 1500 and 2000 UTC. Every show brings you the best music from across the continent. Old songs you know and love, and new songs to discover. You'll meet artists, too. Listen to Africa's superstars and rising stars in exclusive, unplugged interviews on the radio or on my YouTube channel. Search for Heather Maxwell, Music Time in Africa. We play only the best right here on VOA Africa.
VOA News.
VOA. When news breaks, VOA News is there. Around the clock, listen to VOA Newscast at the top of each hour, along with our detailed news programs and analysis.
We are online at voanews.com.
VOA, your trusted source of news and information.